All right. Good morning, everyone. All right, we're honored today to have John with us. He's got a good message. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's one you're going to love and hate both. Let's put it that way. But without further ado, they're just about done with breakfast there. All right, then we're ready to go. Who would you like to pray for you?
Oh, my goodness.
Want me to choose?
You choose.
Brian.
Lord, we thank you for our brother John, Lord God. We just pray your blessing and anointing be upon him, Lord, and fill him with your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And
you,
help our ears to be attentive to what he has to say.
Yes,
in Jesus'
Lord.
Name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord.
Thank you, Elder B.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to start with the tech, and if it goes, then I got my hard copy. Okay. Today, the Lord just led me to talk to you about our power to change. You know, change is not easy, right? Change is sacrificial in many cases because it causes us to change the way we have interpreted our experiences in our lives from before. You know, we've gone through a lot of things in life, and all of the things that we've come to understand and know when we first come to Christ, we're carrying all of that with us. But what does our experiences and our interpretation of our experiences cause in us? What does it create in us? Anybody have an idea or a thought? What does our interpretation of our experiences in life create in us? Huh?
That's anxiety.
But it can. Different perspective.
Perseverance.
Pardon me?
Perseverance.
The thing that I was looking at was bias. Okay. Prejudices. Opinions. Preferences. Influences, you know, our history, our past, and our experiences have created a lot of influence in us. What do you think the world is dealing with now when it comes, when we talk about influence? You know, we're talking about the world talk that they believe that that God did not create the world, okay? We have all of these different things. They believe in evolution, right? They believe in all of these things that are against everything that God is telling us in Scripture. But, you know, so we've been influenced by a lot of stuff that we've taken in. So based on our experiences, we're all coming to Christ with our own baggage from different walks of life. And I want to present two scenarios to you. The first one is let's take a person who in their past has been abused and neglected or whatever it is, and they come up to you downcast and broken or hopeless, what would you do? Pardon me?
Lift them in Jesus.
Lift them up in Jesus.
Absolutely. The new
life. Amen. What else would we do? We'd have compassion on them, right? We'd know that, you know, we could see by their countenance that they have gone through life and they're struggling and all of those things. We pray for them, okay? Let's take that exact same person who that life experience brought them in angry, opinionated, and antagonistic. What are we going to do for them? We pray for them, but what is our initial...
Show them some love.
Run. You know? Which one of those two scenarios would we give more time to? Would we embrace more? You know, the difference between them is that one has been hurt and is looking. One is looking for someone to care for them. And the other one just doesn't care. Okay. because they've been hurt so many times, they're not going to trust anyone to give them any hope. And yet, in these two scenarios, that's exactly what they are looking for, someone to trust in.
Wow.
So what I'm trying to get here is that, you know, they are both broken. We have the answers for both. But because of our bias, we will treat one different than the other. Our bias needs to be the love of God. It needs to be the love of Christ in us. And so, you know, and that includes everything. And I'm going to get into some of this a little deeper, but that's something I just want you to think about. You know, that we take our bias, and because somebody has an opinion different than ours, we bias that person negatively a lot of times. So it's not that, but I don't want to get ahead of myself, because I will. So if we're going to help ourselves and help others, we need to change the preferences and perceptions that dictate our actions, right? We are all in a situation where we're learning and growing. And so I'm not here to, don't ever condemn yourself for our failings, and I'm going to talk about that. But we are the sum. What we have to realize is that we are the sum of all of our experiences in life. But we are not the sum total of what God created us to be. We are constantly changing. And you have to have enough grace and mercy on yourself to realize that you can change, that we can change. And no matter how many times we fail, you know, we are new creations in Christ. And the Holy Spirit can make a difference in who we are and how we present ourselves to other people. Okay? So if we want the power to change, and if we are going to stop the devil's schemes against us, we need to get into a partnership with God. Now, I'm using the term partnership because partnership is actually more than relationship. You know, how many of us have relationships with people that are one way? You know, sometimes you get individuals that, you know, all you're doing is giving to them, and all they're doing is taking from you because they're needy, and that's, you know, people are needy. We're all needy, okay? But it tends to go one way, and sometimes we do that with God, right? We can have a relationship with God, but as long as he's given us what we want, you know, then we will be okay with that relationship. But if he's not meeting our needs, what's the first thing some of us do? And that goes between ourselves. You know, if we're not getting what we need from somebody, we kind of discard them or don't associate as much as we used to. Okay? So what does a partnership do? Partnerships mean that you are invested with the person that you are in partnership with. That you believe and acknowledge the relationship you have, and that you trust that person. Otherwise, who didn't trust somebody would ever get into a partnership with them, okay? But you get into a partnership something, you are invested in what God is invested in. So if we are going to get in, when we get into a partnership with God, it means more. It gives us spiritual currency, okay? It builds up our value and our ability by faith to perform all the things that Christ performed and greater. So that spiritual currency is our faith. The stronger your faith is, the more currency you have and the more ability. You know what? It says in Scripture that, you know, faith as small as a mustard seed, you know, can move mountains, right? I wonder, where's that mustard seed? You know, can I get that mustard seed? I'll take a half a mustard seed. You know, but you know, no, I do have faith in God. I do. I, you know, And I'm going to talk about the things and the struggles that we go through, but those are some of the things that, you know, we need to always work on, is building that faith. Faith is something that it's difficult to really understand, because you can say in your mind what you have faith in, but your heart is really saying something different. And, you know, it's like telling somebody you love them when in your ear you're saying, I can't stand you, you know. So we can be deceived by our heart. You know, our heart can deceive us, and our mind, though, can, we can say anything we want with our lips. But the truth is, we need to start speaking with our heart more, and we need to learn how to connect there. And that's not easy for everybody. We're going to talk about that, if I have enough time.
we can always bring you back, Dan.
Yeah. Well, how many times does that happen? I think I was back 4 times on one message. When we accepted Christ, we now have the power through the Holy Spirit to change everything. Amen? And that's something that we need to connect with and believe in, especially our misperceptions about who we are and who God is. The devil will always work through our flesh. That's his domain in us, is our flesh. You know, he is able to change our reaction and actions because he has deceived us through what we... And you think that everything that comes at you, like through the media and stuff like that, is just sinful people talking, but they are... It's sinful people who have been directed by Satan to feed you with the false lies and the deceptions that are coming at this world today. And that's why I always say, you know what they say, if you really want to change a country, you get the media and you indoctrinate the young. So that's what we're dealing with right now. We're dealing with an indoctrination of our youth. And that's how Hitler got in power. Okay? So the media is following in that suit. And so we need to pray against that. And that's the power of prayer that we do upstairs every morning. You know, that place should be packed, because we are in a desperate fight for this world, for this country.
Yeah.
Amen? So how does the devil work? Any experiences of how the devil has worked in your life? You know, I remember one time I thought that that myself, financial, I was so deceived by needing to keep my credit score intact that I borrowed until I was at a point where I could barely make the minimum payments for all my debt. The devil had deceived me that credit score was important and I needed to protect it. Now, God did send me relief, and he sent me something. And after being so much in debt, I was probably maybe in my 50s, and I was $55,000 in debt. 10, 12 years later, I'm debt-free, house paid off, everything, because God gave me a method to get out of that. And so he sent somebody to me, right? Anybody else have a story that they'd like to share?
I guess just putting it in a nutshell is replacing my own self-righteousness with his holy righteousness.
Amen.
And the devil is very slick there, because he has caused me to believe.
You want it on tape?
He's caused me to believe in my own righteousness, and even backing it up with God's word and deceiving me with God's word to make me believe that my thoughts and my ways are righteous, and they're not.
Yeah. Amen. And that's truth. All actions of righteousness come from Christ. You know, because when we claim our own righteous, we become self-righteous.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Anything that starts with self isn't good.
That's right. And people won't listen to self-righteousness. And that's where we've become, because we've become accusing, and we've become the devil to some people. You know, we become the accuser. You're in sin, you're going to hell. You're in sin, you're in sin. You know, and that's true. They are in sin, but we're all in sin.
Yeah.
What does Scripture say? We're all in sin. There's something in your life that you have not fully committed. I don't care where you are. If you're an elder, pastor, there's something probably that there's something that maybe we don't even recognize. Scripture says we're all sinners. So, you know, and that's something I want to talk about. But we need the Holy Spirit to teach us the principles of spiritual warfare. Amen?
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it says, "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world." And we've all heard this, but on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That's what we're dealing with today. We have a media that's taking away the knowledge of God and defining God as non-existent. And our job is to stand against those arguments. Amen. So that means that we need to be stronger in our knowledge of the Word. And by the way, you know what? If you are connected in God in total love, that Word is written on your heart. I will tell you that you could, I mean, you know, the apostles that wrote those words and all of the people that wrote Scripture, they were connected to God. They were connected in a way that they could understand what God was speaking to them. Amen. So how does the Holy Spirit work in warfare? Anybody got any victory stories they'd like to share? Maybe you kind of shared a little bit of one.
There we go. All right. I'll help you out, John.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's actually two things. It's really quick. One thing that John had said about financial things. Yesterday, my bank account got completely wiped out. I'm getting ready to eat at pay at a restaurant, and the lady was like, "The card is declined." And I'm like, "How is my card declined?" And it's a Coney Island I go to all the time. And she's like, "Don't worry about it." And I look, and I've never had my account say 0.00. And I never carry cash. I happen to have $100 on me, which I never do. And at that moment, my flesh was like, "Get mad, get mad, get mad." I went home and there was not butterflies, but the most horrible feeling in your stomach. And I'm like, you know what? It's okay. Like, the devil's pissed and he's very angry. And there's been a lot of things and blessings and job offers that I've been seeing coming. And Thursday I applied for the one that some people say, don't do it. Yet those that, when I first entered this school district, didn't even want to get to know my name. I mean, they said it to my face, like, "You won't be here long enough." And I was sharing with Ricardo this morning when we were doing kitchen fellowship, because that's what we call it. It's our time to praise God. I'm like, "Man, I want to share this referral letter with you as soon as I download it, because it's unbelievable." And when I shared it with my sister last night, she's a missionary, and she's like, "Wow, Eli, that's amazing the way they see you." I'm like, "Nah, God put that image in them to see me that way, because it's not me." But it's amazing where we came here this morning, and I'm like, my wife was like, "Are you not worried?" I'm like, "No, I'm not worried. I'm not worried anymore, because if God put all those that were my enemies, you know, at my feet, in a school district where I was the outcast, if he did that in such a great amount, I mean, we're talking about 21 principals with doctorates, and he humbled them to me, to my person. And when I looked at my referrals, like the people that I put down as my references, I tried to apply for a similar job 2 years ago. There was nothing. And I stood there in awe. So I'm writing my reference letter, and I'm like, "This guy is the assistant superintendent of Troy Schools. This guy is assistant director of housing for University of Texas San Antonio. This lady is the director of operations for a big heating and cooling military company. This lady is the president of operations for Marygrove College." And I'm sitting there like, everything that you had me do, every single job from the time that I was 11, there was a purpose for it. And there was something that I had to learn from it, whether I didn't want to be there at that time or whether I had this horrible feeling. Like, sometimes when we have these trials, sometimes we cause it ourselves, but sometimes it's the Lord just preparing us. And when I sat there and looked at that, the list of references, I'm like, this is all you, nothing but you, because I'm not supposed to know these people. You know, I'm not supposed to have a relationship with these people, but it's all because of you. And you sit there in awe, like in awe. And when we were fellowshipping this morning, I didn't share that part with Ricardo, but it's amazing.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. So coming from the other side of this, then, what does Satan use? Satan uses our opinions and our attitudes. Okay. All of those things that are easy to manipulate, which gets us emotional, you know, and that's really what he's using. He uses our emotions. He uses our fear, our anger, all of those things to get us to have a negative opinion about something. Who here doesn't have a negative opinion about someone or something? We're human beings, right? You know, there are things that we are going to hold regardless, and that's part of our bias. That's part of who we are. It's the way we've interpreted the world, the way the world has put itself on us, that it makes it more and more difficult for us to accept the things of God, because we're comparing that based upon our feelings. I read some scripture sometimes, and it just hits me. It's like, oh God, how can we do this? You know, but you know what? I think God in every scripture and everything that He does has a purpose, and He is going to protect His word, and He's going to protect His people, and He's going to do it, you know, any way possible. And He sometimes, you know, that word, even though the word is harsh, it doesn't necessarily mean that He's not loving us or that that's too difficult, because even Christ said, when all things that by man, you know, cannot be accomplished, but through God they can be, by the Holy Spirit. And it's just a matter of a connection that we need to make. And that connection with the Holy Spirit can take years sometimes. It's not something that comes real quick, but the Holy Spirit is where you're going to get the power to believe, to understand. And it's not, He's not just some ghost out there. He's an actual person that we deal with. And I can say that my life has been changed because the Holy Spirit kept ministering to me in my doubts and kept telling me that I'm going to make it. But, you know, we all need to get to a place where we can have that strength and put our emotions aside. Because you know what? Love is called an emotion. But when it comes to Scripture and when it comes to God, it's more a choice. Because sometimes you're not going to feel it. You're not going to feel loving somebody, but you're going to make the choice to love them because you love God and you know that God does love them. So until God can make you feel it, you choose to love them and give them the grace and mercy that's necessary so that they can be encouraged, so that they're not set back because of your bias, okay? Unless your bias is loving God and loving everybody who He loves. You don't want to turn people away because of the things that you have in us. So we need to continue to learn. So when we talk about negative opinions, what are some of the negative opinions that we have to deal with? How about being disrespected? Ooh, you know, then that climb up your spine a little bit. You know, I mean, even if you're in leadership, you know, you can say, hey, you know what, don't disrespect me. I'm a leader. But you know what? You know, the thing of it is that people are coming at you from their bias, so they haven't learned the full love of Christ yet. And yet, you know, we're supposed to hopefully have learned more so that we can release that offense and not respond to it. If we're going to be like Christ, what is it that we have to look like when people are crucifying us? Okay? Can we release that? Can we get that out of our system? It's something, you know, sometimes we don't even realize our bias. We don't realize what is really holding us back and allowing us to be more like Christ. If Christ is our example, being beaten all the way to the cross by somebody who doesn't like you, is it, how are they supposed to learn grace and mercy if we don't show it to them? If we don't give them the things that God has given us, how are they going to experience it? So there's a lot of things that we need to change in us. And the Holy Spirit gives us that power. It gives us the power to be healed. Because we, a lot of us, are not completely healed. We carry those things from our past that we're not going to let people talk to us that way. I know there's a guy that I bowl with. He's a Christian. He calls himself a Christian. But I have a lot of grace on him. But he is like, nobody will, if you say something to him that offends him, he's going to be right in your face. You know? And he's in his people's face almost every week. So, you know, it's just something, and there's a lot of, you know, one of the things I put down here is dealing with people who have opinions that are different than ours. You know? People have opinions, and they're going to hold those opinions until the Holy Spirit can show them something different, and that Holy Spirit has to be through you in some cases. You know, I always say that an argument never really wins. All it does is build a bigger wall. And so until you actually have the ammunition, I would zip it. Until the Holy Spirit gives you something to talk to them about, then just don't speak if you're going to speak in anger. Amen. That's tough. Yes.
It's kind of funny that you say that, and I can laugh because it really makes me laugh because I didn't used to be able to shut my mouth.
But can I turn that up?
I was in a situation a couple weeks ago, and it was for my business, and we had done a job for a house that was condemned, and it was full of mold and full of just, I mean, everything you could think of. I think squatters lived there. It was just disgusting. So when I did the quote, the lady didn't tell me this over the phone, and she was in a hurry to hire me. So I quoted her for only two people for 3 hours. So when I got there, and then she, on the way there, she told me, oh, we don't have water. And I was like, you know, we've cleaned like that before, but I have to go buy all the water, and if you're willing to do that, that's fine. And of course she was, oh, yes, go buy the water. Do what you have to do. And then I was like, but it's not, it's going to take more than 3 hours. It's going to take, we can only work 5 hours. I said, it's going to take about four people. So at the end of the job, she made me wait 2 hours for her. She came in and she was like, my boyfriend's coming. And I was like, oh, good Lord. I could feel already that it was not going to be nice. Mm. So she just started going with her fingernail on the floor. I mean, and I'm going like this, oh, God. Oh, God. I started just trying to, actually, I couldn't even feel the old Esther, to be honest. I was just like, oh, God, what am I going to do? Fred's not here, and he's like 30 miles away, and, you know, what if she wants to hit me, and I'm just going through all these scenarios. What if this man comes, and he tries to kill me in this house, and all these things are going through my mind, and I'm like, God, please help me. She's going, my boyfriend's going to get here, and I'm going, oh. So the guy, here comes the guy, and sure enough, they go in the other room, and they come out, and he's like, we're not paying you. And I'm going, Lord, oh, my gosh. You know, I'm starting to run numbers across my head of what I have spent to clean this house. And I wouldn't say anything. I just said, you know, you have to remember. And I had all the pictures of the house. And I go, you got to remember this, where we were at when we started the job and where we're at now. But there was no rectifying it with words. So I just closed my mouth and I looked at them and I said, you know what? It's okay. I'm going to walk away. So I turned my back and I opened the door, you know, because I wanted to be outside. Like, I needed the public to see if I got killed. So the lady was a doctor. So he was like, well, let's try to fix this. Oh, what about you do this, this, and this? Come back on Friday and do this, this. And I was like, you know what? Okay, I'll come and fix a few things for you. I said, but you're paying me my money today. He said, no, we're not. And I was like, okay. I said, I'm going to go. And I don't know how God did this, but he literally had the guy take back me coming back on Friday to give him more free time. And he even said out of his mouth, we're just going to pay you your money. And I was like this. I mean, I don't even know how God turned that around. And I mean, the lady still kept going really slow to write the check. And then I'm going like this. Oh, my gosh, what happens if this check bounces? I have all these scenarios going in my mind. So then he asked me whose fault it was, and oh my gosh, and I'm like, I don't want to answer this question. But anyway, she ended up giving me the check. I ran to the bank, cashed the bank. Not that, you know, running to the bank makes any difference, because they can still put a hold on it. But she didn't put a hold on it. The check was paid. And I just thank God, because I don't know. It wasn't even a hue of Esther. You know, it wasn't a hue of the old Esther. Mm-hmm. Which I mean, a lot of Amen. People here know the old Esther, but so I just praise God. Amen. Yeah. See, Elma, Amen. I'm going to glorify what God is doing.
Amen. Well, and there's a good example of God's protection. Sometimes we don't even know that it happens. You know, I remember a scenario one time when Pastor John was driving down the road, and he said he was making a turn to come down to church, and he said God just told him to stop. And he was making that turn from Outer Drive onto Allen Road, and when he stopped, the car just blew through the red light, you know, and it definitely would have hit him. But he got that feeling from God, and he obeyed it, and it saved him from being in an accident. So, you know, those things happen. So I think that we need to recognize sometimes when God does protect us, you know, and in this case, it's a financial thing, but he understands and he appreciates the work that you're doing to change your life. Because the old Esther is working her way out to become the new creation that God has, right? And that's what God's doing for all of us, you know. And it can only happen through faith and trust in God and trust in your leadership and those kinds of things. You know, you got to realize that, hopefully that you realize that we're here for you. We're here to try to help you to overcome all of those struggles and trials in your life. And, you know, God loves you even if you're suffering physically or if you're struggling financially. All of those things are going to, I'm going to have to jump into that real quick because I'm going to run out of time. Again, you know. Where am I at? Okay. So, by the way, who's perfect, right?
Jesus.
You know, who's perfect here? You know. And Pastor Don was supposed to be here. I was going to say, besides Pastor Don, who's perfect? You know. But the truth is that if you think you're perfect, the Bible tells us you've already received your reward, right? I mean, so, and how many of us agree that we will never be perfect? If you believe that, then you can continue the process of sanctification, you know. And sanctification is a process. We have to realize that it just doesn't happen overnight. We need to read and study and understand what God is saying about who he is and who we are. Right? We have to continue that thing until we die, because we will never be perfect. But our goal is to be more Christ-like. And if we really picture what Christ did, then we really know that we are supposed to give more than we receive. Christ gave everything. And we cry because we have to give a tithe. Okay? Amen? All of us are failed or have done something that we're ashamed of. The real challenge is, since God first loved you with your imperfections, can you love God through your imperfections? And the reason I say that is because sometimes our imperfections lead us away from God. We want to accuse God. We want to blame God because things aren't happening the way we want them to happen. And going back to that relationship I was telling you about, rather than a partnership, relationships tend to go that way. You know, we're looking for God, and we finally receive him, and now we're looking for him, and we want everything. We want the pink Cadillac. We want, you know, all of those things. You know, why can't I have this? Why do all those sinners get all this, and I'm struggling to make my paycheck? You know, we need to learn to appreciate the gift of eternity first. That gift of everlasting life. If you think that this is all there is, I'm sorry. You know, we do have something we have to deal with down the road, eventually. Because we're all going to die. We can put that off in our minds that, you know, it hasn't happened yet, so maybe it won't happen for a while, but it's going to happen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, one change that needs to occur is our perception of ourselves. Change can begin when we stop acting out who we think we are and start seeking God, seeking what God has made us to be, and a willingness to sacrifice to get there. We need to stop focusing on our past. You know, I don't care who you are. As a matter of fact, I was just laughing at something that embarrassed me years ago when I was younger. And kind of like I'm going to share it, I guess.
We want to know.
Oh, my God.
Sure.
I was in the airport with a friend of mine, okay? And, you know, I had to go to the bathroom, so I went to the bathroom. And I come out of the bathroom, I'm walking across the concourse, right? And he turns me around, and there was a trail of toilet paper hanging out the back of my pants. You know, hey, needless to say, I said, God, it took me all the way to get across that concourse before somebody even said anything. It had to be him. So, but you know what? It's one of those things that it's my past, and every time I think about it, I get tickled, embarrassed inside, and I laugh about it. You know, and I've got other stories that I can't share, but that's something that happens in our past. Our past. It says here. And Isaiah 43:18, it says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. But we do. We dwell on our failings, we dwell on our doubts, and you know, the things that we dwell on is the direction that we take. And sometimes when you're dwelling on all of your failures, you can't see the victory that you have in Christ. You know? You can't grasp it because you're so focused on self. You know, it's a pity party with yourself sometimes. Or it's an angry party because God's not meeting your expectations. You know, and again, going back to that partnership, we have a one-way thing going. You know, we don't think God has good things for everybody. You know, and I'm not going to get there, so I'm going to say it. The rain falls on the just and unjust, and the sun falls, and then the rain falls on the faith, the righteous and unrighteous. So we are all experiencing. We live in this world. We live in this world. We're going to experience what the world has. You know, faithful people have died or been killed and been murdered, and all of those things happen. But the truth of the matter, when you are fully invested in God, then the glory that comes in your life will carry you through all the trials.
Amen.
You know, you cannot escape it when you've committed. And that's what we need to do. You know, God, there's so much about how much God loves us. You know, we can dwell on whether God is a disciplinarian or whether he is a God who loves us. You know, the Bible says, more so than ever, regardless of the actions that he had to take in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, there's only two real issues of God striking. And I think it was because the power of the Holy Spirit was so intense during the time the apostles were bringing this new testament and this new word and this new life to everybody that the God just struck them down. And that was Sapphira and Ananias and Sapphira. And was it Bar-Jesus, I think, where he was blinded. Okay. Another one, this the sorcerer. Simon, the sorcerer, right. He could have been killed as well, but he repented. And but even in each case, you know, the apostles were talking about you're following with Satan in this. You're with Satan. And God was intent on protecting what he was building at that time. And he knew that those instances would create a negative impact on if he allowed them to happen, I believe. And that's why that those things changes happen. But you haven't seen anything since. And so, not that God can't, and he will. If he needs to do whatever is necessary to make sure that if there's a change to happen, we bring it. We bring it just like the apostles brought it. Okay? You can do that. And you have the power to. You know, and the man you see in front of you today is not the man I was 30 years ago. And I'm not talking about this. Okay? We have to deal with everything in our life. And yes, I'm still dealing with things that may be in my past, but not as much as I used to. I've accepted more of what God says I am than what I say I am. And that's a change that comes by pressing in. Not allowing the devil to say you're worthless.
Yes. Yes.
If he tells me I'm worthless, I say I'm loved.
Yes.
You can't do this, I say I can in Christ.
Right.
You know? You know, when this message came up and I was supposed to give it, I'm struggling all week to connect with it. Have I connected with it?
Yes.
I mean, it's. I always trust that God can work through me.
Yes.
And that I can always allow that to happen.
Amen.
Good. Yeah. I almost got to where I was going to act like Pastor John there for a minute. The Holy Spirit wells up in you. I know I got to close here. But one thing I wanted to read, but even Paul was working on this, by the way. In Philippians 3, 12 through 14, he says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind," again, not dealing with our past, "and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Forget the past. Work on the future. Every day is a new day. What can you change in the past?
Nothing.
So why should it have an impact on you except to say that I'm going to change the way I was. Tomorrow I'm starting a new day. Amen. Amen. I'm going to close with this one paragraph. You know, say, when we've accepted God, that God is love, then we have confidence that we are not abandoned. And this scripture carries more weight to us. In Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Amen.
Amen.
God has not abandoned you. He has not forgotten you. He is always willing to forgive you, and he has grace and mercy on everything you do.
Yes.
And you need to believe that so that you can move forward and understand the truth that he has put in his word. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.